Hello, friends. Welcome to today's episode, this week's episode of the Questions Bar. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, the co-host in Washington, D.C., with Alina Z, life stylist in L.A. And our guest today is one of our besties, Cynthia De Lorenzi. She is the co-founder of the Empowered Together Network with us and Ava Ross, who's in Canada. And today we get to do our three questions about passions with Cynthia. So let me tell you a little bit about this truly amazing woman. She is in Las Cruces, New Mexico. She moved there in 2016, and she says she blazed a trail to the land of enchantment. The New Mexico Technology Council awarded her the Wonder Woman Women in Technology Award the following year in 2017. She's also become a regular speaker at the Women's Conference held in Las Cruces. And she is an artist and a visionary. And when we knew her way back when, she founded Success in the City here in Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C. And that is an organization that just brought hundreds of women together. And so we miss Cynthia being across the country, or sort of for both of us.
We're both of us in the middle.
But today we're all together again, at least virtually. So welcome, Cynthia. Thank you for being here. Welcome to the Questions Bar. We raise a glass to you, our friend.
I'm happy to join you.
L'chaim. Okay. So, Alina, so this is season 2 of the Questions Bar. And you are episode 11. And Alina, after season 1, said, you know what? I think I want to ask 3 questions to our guests. Because season 1, it was just us chatting to make ourselves feel less insane here in 2025 post-election. Mm-hmm. And now we have 3 questions. So I'm going to kick it over to Alina to start that back and forth.
So, yeah, I find solace in knowing that there are miracles, and miracles keep us going. So the question is, can you tell us about a miracle that happened in your life that maybe shaped your life? And maybe it was a small miracle, but it turned out to be small miracle, big impact kind of thing. Because go ahead.
I thought a lot about it. And I think there have been a million tiny miracles in my life. I mean, Larry and I often reflect on how we met, and it was like a miracle. I mean, it really was. It was like you meet your person and something happened. It's your person. And even though you're going to, you know, logically deny every reason why it's your person. And we always talk about that. But I remember something when I was very young, when I discovered intuition and precognition or pre-intuition. And I was living in Japan at the time, and I had just got my driver's license, and I was with a girlfriend who had her learner's permit. So like we were hot stuff. So she was driving, and I was because I was the adult who had just got my driver's license. And getting a driver's license in Japan is a very, very big deal because it's very complex rules. I mean, like if you do not fully stop at a crossing, train track, it's like a $5,000 fine then. I mean, because that's their major mode of transportation. The questions on the questionnaire are like 50. So to learn the rules in a different country.
That's a miracle already.
Yeah. And so we were driving home after I was the licensed driver with somebody with learner permit. And I said, turn around, go back. Something's going to happen. And I said, I don't know what it is. So we went back, and in Japan, you drive on the left side of the road rather than the right, like we do here. And that night, a sailor had just picked up his car from the United States, had been out drinking, and he ended up driving on the wrong side of the road, and we had a head-on collision. Now, that's bad, this precognition thing, that I had this thing that took me back to go have a head-on collision, which ended up with us in the emergency room, seriously damaged my knees. My father, who was the head of the military base we were on at the time, was really upset because, you know, his daughter was maybe wasn't responsible enough, you know, being the driver. But years later, after I had met Larry, we were driving back from, I lived in Fort Worth. We were over in Arlington. We'd gone out with some friends and we were driving back. And I said, I've never shared that story with anybody. I said, and in those days you didn't have to wear a seatbelt or anything. I said, I've had this feeling one time before. And I said, put on your seatbelt, because the last time I was feeling, I was in a very bad head-on car accident. And he goes, okay, he listened to me. He could have said, that's nuts, but he listened to me. And within 10 minutes of saying that, we turned a corner under a bridge and coming into Fort Worth. A woman who had been drunk and driving came around the corner under the bridge. And because I had said that, we had our seatbelt on, and he avoided the collision. So that really, in my life, I said, wow, we have precognition. Sometimes we do, and we don't pay attention to it. So it was like, I wouldn't know that you call it a miracle, but it was something that impacted me my whole life, that pay attention to your instincts. And especially as women, you know, when you go in a place like, and I told this to Larry one time, I said, as a man, you probably never walk in a dark parking lot and think about what's around the corner. How many of us as women have to think about that?
Even on a light parking lot, even during the day walking. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, wherever we go, we have to think.
Listen to intuition.
And we have to heighten our awareness. And I think we need, as women, and tell our girls, be aware. Heighten, trust your instincts. If something tells you it's wrong, it's right. You know, trust that. So that was one of my, I don't know if you call it a miracle, but one of those circumstances in my life that really resonated with me. And wanting to make sure, I have a granddaughter now, and I want to make sure not to make her afraid, but to make her aware that all the girls and women in our lives have that heightened sense. Trust your instinct. Something seems bad, trust that.
You know, I was actually posted something about a similar thing that I had. I was driving, and all of a sudden, I'm like, something's going to happen. Like, maybe I have a car accident. I'm like, don't worry. Like, stop thinking about it. And then I was on stoplight, and I turned on my phone, and all of a sudden, it popped up, like, History Channel that I follow, and it was an announcement that Princess Diana was hit, and she died in a car accident. And I'm like, the universe is telling me something. And then I said, you know what? Don't worry about it. Just drive very slow. You'll be fine. And somebody hit me in the back. But it was fine. I was fine. You know, it was like very little. It was, the guy paid for everything. Right. But the thing was, I was driving like literally 2 weeks ago, and I had this feeling again. And I thought, am I imagining this, or is it precognition, or is it me manifesting it? And I thought, you know what? Let me just check. Maybe it's fine. And then somebody hits me, but somebody hit me like literally like this. And there was not a scratch. And I was like, okay, universe is telling me turn, go the other way. So I never went the way that I had that intuition not to go. And I'm glad, and I don't know if anything would have happened or not, but I listened. I was like, this woman literally, as I thought about it, I'm like, well, there hasn't been a sign. That's what I said. There hasn't been a sign. And then she hits my car, but so lightly, and it was nothing. So listen to your intuition, because that's a miracle, I think. And I probably avoided something that I don't even know.
You really have, it really is amazing. These things that, and it's a gift that's, you know, that we turn off, and I think we have to listen. What about you, Hope? Have you had something similar to that?
I truly believe in the power of just knowing, right? And feeling. And I've honed it over the years so that I can tell, not so much if something is bad like that is going to happen, you know, dangerous, but like knowing if someone approaches me with a business concept, I'll know intuitively, immediately, that's a good idea or that's not. And other things that I think that women that need to just pay attention to that inner voice, and that, because I, you know, and where do you feel it in your body? A lot of, I'm a Martha Beck trained life coach, and, you know, she does the body compass, and where is it in your body that you're feeling different things? And so I've picked that up on that over the years, and I try and share that with other people, because we know what's coming, right?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
And I was having this conversation with my daughter Anna this morning about, right now, I feel like everybody's intuition is tweaked up. You know, like, because we're so intense, and it's so intent on paying attention to what's happening in the world around us, that the collective conscience is kind of coming together in this beautiful way. So it's weaving this fabric where we're doing it together. We're lifting each other up. But like before we launched into this episode, we were talking about, you know, what's going on now and how are we staying sane? And Lena and I, and now you here with us, you know, we're using the show as a way to make us feel less crazy about what's going on in a world where we have no control, right?
And you know
Right.
what? Also, like what you just brought it to, we're using this show to feel better. And then what Cynthia started out with, listen to your intuition. Well, now I'm thinking my intuition says everything is going to be okay. It's going to be hard. It's going to be challenging. But deep down inside, I feel like everything is going to be okay. And when I tune into that, I feel better. And I think that's the gift and that's a miracle to remember that if you've had intuition before, I don't know any woman. I don't know any woman and I don't know any experience in my life where I listen to my intuition and I go, boy, was I wrong. Never. Never. If I listen to
Yes.
my head, go, oh my God, I felt in my gut it wasn't right. I thought about it. I did it. Boy, was I wrong. Yes.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
not intuition. Every woman I know, she listens to her gut. Whether she does it or not, that's a different story, but the gut is always right.
Yeah. Just think if you listen to your gut when we were dating in the younger years of dating. How
Oh
much
God.
we briefly could have saved ourselves if we really listened, you know, but, you know, and I think, you know, it's an animal instinct, but I think it's really important. And what the other thing, and I think it's really important when you were just saying, Hope, is, you know, with the anxiety and worry that we're all going through right now, is stop and recognize it's the moment you're in now. It's, you know, because we can spin up anxiety about future worry that hasn't happened yet. But if you stop and say, where am I in this moment? You know, as you know, my husband's going through a huge life challenge, and this actually gave birth to a book I'm working on called Fill Your Cracks with Gold, and which is one of the reasons I want to start talking to all my friends, because we all have these moments where our life's shattered or something's pulling us apart and how we fix it. And I walked in the kitchen, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I picked up a coffee cup that I loved and it had a crack in it. And I was just started shaking. You know, when you've had a close car accident, a close call, and you went through it, and then afterwards you were shaking so hard. I started shaking like that. I mean, to the point I had to hold on to the edge of my kitchen counter just to hold myself up and be steady. And I said, breathe, breathe. You're worried about something that hasn't happened. In this moment, you're okay. You're making coffee. You're looking outside over the mountains. The sun's coming up. You're okay. And that's all that matters is this moment. So stop and hold on to that moment and breathe into it, because there's a lot you could say right now. Because if we look at the potential of things to happen, it could be very bad. But right now we're okay. And we have our covey of incredible friends and everything else who are like-minded. And I think if we could do that, because you can't make other people change who aren't ready to change. We can only make a journey together with like-minded people who say, yeah, I'm ready to make change. And sometimes from the bad, it gives birth to something beautiful.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's exactly what we're all about. You know, I was telling Lena, and probably you too, but I'll say it out loud. When I turned 61 on July 8th, I woke up that morning. It's always very important to me, that first thought that comes into my mind on my birthday. And I just went, I'm choosing joy. It's enough of this. You know, like when that big bad wolf bill was passed on July 4th, to me, you know, democracy ended. And now we just have to wait and see how, you know, all these evil decisions and policies that are going to kill tons of people and starve them and all that horribleness, will play out. But I don't have to play into that feeling. It doesn't have to live in my body every day. In fact,
Right.
the goal is, if I can change my vibration, then I can vibrate it out and love. So I just actually sent you both information today about the Concrete Rose Found Scholarship Foundation that Empowered Together is going to support. They're helping brown and black girls get to school, get to college. But we had a meeting yesterday that was so powerful because a teacher joined the project, and she said, you know, it's great to want to get them to college, but they all don't need to go to college, right? So we're going to try and bring in my friend Lori, who runs the massage school here in Northern Virginia. She's a black woman and she's a powerhouse. So maybe we can get them to become massage therapists. And we want to work with salons and we want to work with churches. But really, what cut me to the quick was when this woman said, you know, these kids come to school, they need toothbrushes and toothpaste. They need underwear. The girls need bras. They need socks. They need fundamentals that privileged people do not give a second thought to. And Andrea Walton, who founded this organization, you know, she grew up in Pasadena, so that's why it's called the Concrete Rose, because Pasadena is the land, you know, the roses. And she grew up in the projects, and she was abused when she was 5, physically molested. She got pregnant at 14. And her first book is called From GED to MBA, because she dropped out of school to raise her daughter. And then a few years later, she's like, you know what? This is not helping anyone. So she went, she rode her bike in the rain to get her GED. It was raining. She didn't have a car. She rode her bike. She was determined. She passed. And that one moment, she's like, I can do anything. If I did this, I can do anything. And she went on to work at Coke and Nestle and Target and HR. And she was a model for Ebony. And now she's given $10,000 away to girls so that they can go to school. And she works with the university in Cape Town and Howard University here in DC. So I'm all about, like, how can we help her and these girls? Let's buy toothbrushes and toothpaste. Let's, you know, they don't need school supplies necessarily anymore. They need these fundamentals, this survival. And we can do that. That's something that we can help with, right?
I love that. It's sometimes those small acts, our words, our actions, our presence, our deeds, our kindness, our smiles, and making sure that we show our care for other people can change the world. And I always used to think, like, you know, I spent years going around the world and making speeches and talking to thousands of people. And I used to say, gotta make my message for everybody in the room and everything else. And then one day I go, my message is for the one person who really needs to hear it.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be for everybody. And some people tune you in or tune you out, but and invariably somebody comes up and then years later they go, you said something one time that changed my life. And if we do that and change it for the better, and if we do that, then we've done a good thing. It's like Alina, and I hope, I watch what you guys put out there and what you're writing and what you're doing. I go, if that changes one person, we've done our job, you know, because then that we have extended ourselves out into the world, you know, that by doing that and making people feel hopeful and happy. And
well, actually, no, I'm going to segue from that exact thing, what you said. If we do one thing, but a lot of times we as overachievers go, and when you're speaking this, I'm like, well, one is not enough. I want to do more. I have to do more. I'm such a loser for just doing one. Somebody else inspired two people. And, I wanted to ask you, the second question that we ask is, when you feel like you are not good enough, or if you ever feel like you're not good enough, or you look yourself in the mirror like, oh my God, I look so bad, or whatever, you know, everybody has those days when we don't look good, we don't feel good emotionally, physically, mentally. How do you pick yourself up? How do you love yourself up? How do you nurture yourself to get back? Not in a way that some women do, oh, what a piece of shit I am, I need to work harder. I really don't want any negative talk. I really don't like it when my friends call themselves names. They would not dare calling me, but they call themselves. And I really don't like that. And the other day I was talking to a friend and she goes, I know I look ugly. And I was like, you would not say that to me. Why are you saying this to yourself? Like, please don't do that. So I want more women to hear how other women are coping in a positive way, not in a toxic positivity where you don't look good and you go, damn girl, but how do you actually do it where it's authentic that you love yourself up?
Yeah,
and you pull
I
yourself
think
up.
Beauty comes inside. You know, beauty is inside. And I've met people who maybe on the outside, you know, you say, well, you know, detract, whatever. But I always say, have you ever met people you go, God, that soul is beautiful. That's where your beauty is. And I realize every day when I get up, I bring my soul because I know my presence intention is to uplift other people. And that's where my beauty comes from. Oh my God, there are days I get up and, you know, I'm like, look at that head, look at that hair, you know, or the makeup or whatever. But that isn't my real beauty. My essence of beauty is my soul. And I want to share that with other people, because if I'm in a room and a space, I believe that we send out actually chemical energy from ourselves. And I want to make sure that I give that to my family and my friends, that when I walk in a room or I go for my 3 times a week, a group of us walk in the neighborhood, I want them to be happy that I joined, that I was there, and that they walked away and I filled their soul. And I don't have to know that. I just know I want to leave that. It's like, it's, I don't wear perfume, but I want to feel like I left the mark of a perfume in a room, you know, that when you leave it and that other people.
How do you do it though? Like in the morning, do you look at yourself? Oh, the hair is a mess, but look at my eyes. Like I sometimes look at my eyes and I'm like, damn, there's a life in there. Like, how cool is that? Like, how do you shift focus from my hair is a mess, but my soul is beautiful? How do you make that shift?
Let me think for a minute. You know, it's, so I get up and I have a routine. And I get up and I make sure that I go and I set the coffee for the night before and I go in and turn the coffee pot on. Then I come and I sit quietly and kind of go into a meditative state and I do stretching for my body so that my body's kind of prepared for the day, you know, so, and just simple yoga stretches and stuff like that. It's my quiet time. So I haven't really looked in the mirror yet. So, and I don't really, I used to always be like, I have to have be perfect. I don't. I mean, I know that what's happening inside, and especially if I have to have a cup of coffee, then I'm a lot prettier than before. So give me that first cup of coffee. But, you know, it's, I live in a place where I can see nature and beautiful things. So it kind of fuels my soul. So I don't feel like, I mean, I wear makeup every day. It's just something I've always done. I go in and start, but I just, it just comes. I don't have to be perfect and beautiful. And, you know, I think as long as I radiate health is the most important thing. So, and it's my soul is where my beauty lies, you know, because you could be, you know, have you ever seen people put on a ton of makeup and you go, they're still not a kind or generous or sweet person? You know, maybe their physical bone structure is handsome, but inside, because of how they are, they're not pretty, you know, because they're not exuding. And I don't want to name some of the people that you see on TV who have all this anger and all this hostility and stuff like that. But I don't know if they're pretty because their words are ugly and their behavior is ugly. So I don't know how you do that. I don't ever want to bring that to anything I do. I want to, wherever I go, even if I don't go out of the house, I want to feel like I brought that to my presence.
And you know, it's interesting you said that you make your coffee because I posted something from our talk with Hope a few weeks ago that you cannot pour from an empty cup. And you literally don't look in the mirror. You go pour your cup full, make your cup full, then you stretch, you fill your body with joy because movement, mindful movement is joy. And then you honor, you have this, all of this energy already radiating from you. So when you see yourself the first time in the morning, you already are so in love with your soul and you filled your cup with coffee. So now you can be the person that you want to be to radiate the joy and beauty and to share it with the world. That's beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
So it's a good advice for everybody who's listening, who doesn't like themselves. Don't look in the mirror, get your drink or whatever you need to fill yourself, your cup with. Fill your cup first, do stretches, and then remember that your soul needs to be full first.
I think the coffee analogy comes from that I was raised in a military family, and we moved. I never went to the same school more than 1 year my entire life growing up. Every year was so, there was always change. That was my life. My life was established through change. But one of the greatest memories is that my parents drink coffee. They were coffee drinkers. And one of my first memories, because they'd have a station wagon, you know, four young children in the back, and they'd have a thermos of coffee. And we, you know, they'd get us up at dawn or earlier than dawn because we're traveling. Every time we moved, it was across coast to coast. And I remember a thermos of coffee, and that's the free being in your pajamas in the car, just kind of laying there wet, watching the sun come up, and you'd smell coffee. So that's kind of how your day started. Wow. So that was our family was coffee early. So there's an association there for when you start your day.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yes, very beautiful. All right, question number three.
So question number three is, if you were the president of this country, what's the first thing you would do to make this country and all the world better place?
You know, I thought about when I moved to Washington, D.C., and I got this advice from my brother-in-law. When I lived in Texas, I was the head of the North Texas Technology Council. We were just establishing. We'd gone through all the foundation paper. We were doing everything to get going. And it was so exciting to bring this new idea, these emerging technologies, and talk about that state as a state for growing all of this. And then my brother died, and he was very well known in Washington, D.C. He ran one of the early internet when they when we had common carriage, which was the fact that any company had access to the internet, to the lines that carried the internet. So the phone systems were broken up, AT&T and everything was broken up. And my brother was in charge of negotiations at the time in Korea with the North Koreans. So they were stationed over there, and my brother died unexpectedly, and I did not know I was going to be taking over, but because he was the major owner of the company and my mother had invested in the company, I felt I had made the decision I had to go to DC to take over his company for my family. And I talked to him every day, so I knew a lot about his business and the company and everything that he did. And my brother-in-law, but here's a woman coming in to take over. These are all young guys out of George Mason University who started this company. And I asked my brother-in-law, I'm going to be meeting with everybody. How do you think I should do the meeting? What should I do? He said, I would ask everybody, what do we do that's so right on, so good that no matter, we don't change. We adhere to this. And what are the things we need to do to change? How could we be better? And I thought that that's really good, is the people you pull around me, because had I not asked that question, they had insight from experience that I did not have. And I think, and no matter how much, I know when we draw an analogy to the previous administration before this current one, obviously the people you put around you are key. So you look at the Biden administration, there was continuity. He had extraordinary experience. He took a period of crisis in our country. We're just starting to come out of COVID. We were in, I mean, the economy was rocky, everything. And he took this incredible tumultuous period and put us on a stable path. Good, bad, right, wrong, indifferent. There was stability and there was continuity. And we resumed trust and we rebuilt relationships around the world. In this new administration, the people that have been brought around the table have a conflicting view to stability. You know, I think chaos, breaking things, the sense that we don't need relationships has changed how our world looks right now. So the first thing I would do is I would find the best people with experience, knowledge, who understand the key roles that our country plays in the world. And I would bring them around the table and I would ask them, what's hurting our country? What's healing our country? What can we do better? What can we do? What do we need to fix first? What do we need to look at? Because whoever follows, it's going to be a huge job, because the leadership is focused on a percentage of breaking everything, which is a leadership style. Well, just, I mean, I think that you look at Musk, that's what he did when he took over Twitter. Just break it all. And then we'll see where it is. It's still a very powerful platform, but it doesn't have the sense that it did before, but break it all. And he brought people around the table. Let's break it all. He around people. We don't care about listening or our citizens. We know best. So I would want to come in. If I did come in and lead the country, I would find the very best people. And that does not mean that their necessary experience. I'd want to listen to everybody. And I'd want to reach down to the lowest people who are hurting. I'd want to listen to the Indian tribes, to the minority, to DEI, because I know that diversity is a gift to our country. And I know that because I lived a life of diversity, because we traveled all around the world. And I can't imagine a life greater than being able to be in diverse cultures all the time and the gift of that. So that would be what I would do.
Oh, I love that. Cynthia for president.
No, amen, sister.
No, but maybe somebody's listening and they'll think, oh, you know, that's a really good idea. And who knows? You know, our job, I believe, is to do what our hearts, our intuition is telling us to do. I was telling Hope that I really got zoned in that my passion is to help people realize their dreams. However, that is because I've done so many different things and realized mine. And I just want to put this information out there, and then it's up to the universe, up to God, up to miracles, whoever hears it, whoever uses it for good. We want this to be a happy world, joyful world. We want people to be happy. And however, we just do our work, our job, that we're inspired to do, and then we see what happens, you know?
Little things can make huge things grow. I mean, it's incredible when you look at it. And when you come, one of the things I learned is asking questions is the most powerful thing you can ever do. Don't preach, ask.
Yeah.
Listen to other people. Learning how to ask questions. I know sometimes when we hear people ask us questions, we feel like it's invasive. But if you can ask questions in a way of truly learning and understanding and listening, you change the other person and you change yourself. And the other thing I learned, and I started an organization for women purely by accident. I worked in the geek field. I was, you know, I mean, I work with a lot of women, but I work mostly with men. I was used to that. But I discovered things about women that were so fascinating. And one, asking questions makes, I learned this a long time ago. If you ask people questions, they will think you are the smartest person they ever met.
Yeah.
Because we all want to know ourselves. We don't have the opportunity. There's so much noise today. We don't get to hear ourselves. But asking somebody questions, we discover our own truths. So that will make you more powerful with somebody than anything else is by asking them questions.
That's beautiful. You're such a good leader, Cynthia.
Yeah.
So yes. And when you founded Success in the City, quickly tell that story. And then I want to talk about your book before we run out of time today.
Certainly, certainly. You know, I started Success in the City purely by accident. My brother had died and my family was grieving deeply. He was the youngest sibling. And this family was steeped in grief. We were a very tight family. And two things happened. One, and I want to share this anecdote really, really quickly with you. My brother-in-law, who's a retired three-star general who has a demanding life, and I don't know how he does this, but every single day he sends out a family album and pictures of everybody across our family. And our family is huge. We're Italian, we're Irish, we're Greek, we're Jewish. We are as diverse of people as you'd ever want to see. Dinner could be 40 people and it's wild and it's delicious and it's crazy. But every day he sends out an album. And sometimes we have this little thing called Rocking Bob. My brother was a karaoke singer. He was just so bigger than life. And it started with, we would take pictures of Rockin' Bob and he would travel around the world with famous people. I mean, we've got like famous people holding this little plastic thing, and that's kind of where he started, so that Bob was always with us. So we even have days where you have, where's Bob? And you see Bobby in all these places. So, and people have traveled with me, see me with my little plastic thing, and I take pictures of Bobby. They go, what's that? I said, that's my brother, you know? And all the children, the grandchildren, all they know is two things. Take pictures for Uncle Jimmy. They think that their lives is everybody has an uncle who takes pictures that has, wants pictures of them. And here, hold this plastic thing and take pictures for Uncle Jimmy. So that's one thing we do. And that's a great way to bring people together in your family and bring closeness. But when we started Success in the City, my brother had died and I was diagnosed with, I'd gone in for my yearly checkup and the doctor said, I want you to know you may have ovarian cancer. We don't know. But we recommend a hysterectomy, and we won't know till we go in and do it. And I thought, I don't know how I'm going to help my family. They've lost their youngest child. How are they going to grieve through the oldest child? And my job really was as the oldest child, taking care of everybody. And so I was talking to somebody. I said, what do you do when somebody's got to have a hysterectomy? And Sex and the City was going off the air. And I said, I need friends. I need girlfriends. I need girlfriends that will understand what I'm going through. So we had a one-time event to say goodbye to Sex and the City. It was a joke. I hadn't really even had an opportunity to watch the series, but it's about these women together. And it was an invitation. We met at the Tower Club in Washington, D.C. or in Tyson's Corner. And the invitation said you had to wear high heels, which Washington, D.C. is the land of the practical shoe. And you had to share something. Write, share something with me about yourself nobody else knew. And then you had to go around the room and match up this fact with those people. And we had a contest for the best high heels. And it was so loud. And, you know, the Tower Club's a business club. And here are these women laughing, walking in high heels, wearing mini skirts. And they're like, what is happening here? And people go, I don't know, but I want to be in that room with those people. And it was so fun and people had such a good time. afterwards they go, oh, we're doing this again. I said, we're doing it again. They said, oh yeah, this is a thing and we're doing it. And that's how it started. And that's when I couldn't understand its success. It was leaked to the press. We sold out. It then became this phenomenon, this cultural phenomenon in Washington, D.C., and I couldn't understand it, but I discovered that women were really rising to peak leadership at that period of time, really taking over unique leadership roles in companies. We recognized, you know, through diversity and everything else, how valuable they were, how much they were influencing change, driving technology, everything. And I go, why is this happening? And what I found is that women are driven by oxytocin, which is our nursing hormone. And we reach that and access it through talking. Men are driven by the hormone testosterone. Women are driven by oxytocin. And creating an environment where women can comfortably talk to each other changed the entire, you know, the country. And that's how we all know each other, because we came together and we talked. So that's how it changed the world.
I love that. Yeah, it's so great. And it was so much fun because, you know, you encourage women to feel sexy, to be friends, to be girlfriends. And you're such a good leader. And, you know, DC tends to be kind of a competitive environment, but you just cut right through that. You're like, no, we're not playing that game. You know,
because yeah,
I was in a different networking group before I joined Success in the City, and it wasn't that, you know, it was very top down and kind of very competitive. And I'm like, this is no fun. I'm not paying money to be part of this, but it was, you know, I will never forget when you had the, hundreds of women showed up to watch the Success in the Sex in the City movie.
We catered it.
You did.
It was amazing. At 7 a.m.
With croissants and champagne. It was so great. And then shopping at Saks in the Saks Fifth Avenue. Oh, those my favorite memories of my days at Windows Catering, that I would go to watch a movie in the morning with, you know, amazing croissants and then go shopping. And then I made connections that brought me new business for Windows Catering, and then I would make money. So, and they would get amazing food, and everybody had a great time. It was amazing.
It was incredible.
Win-win-win. That's the whole game, right?
All right.
Before we run out of time, tell us about this new book and how more people can know about it.
Well, when my husband was diagnosed and very ill, and I realized my life, you know, sometimes you go through periods you're changing, and evolution is normal. Nothing is supposed to stay the same. And I noticed that. I'm also an artist, and I found I've changed. I mean, what I've changed, you know, like I felt myself becoming more earthy, more drawn to things that were of the earth. I live in the desert. I love this sense, and my art was reflecting it, and the things that I wanted around me. You know, gold is a sense of opulence, but that's, you don't have, I'm very wealthy, not in money. I'm very wealthy in the blessings of the world, in the universe. I've got incredible friends. I can pick up and talk to the most amazing people and learn the most amazing things. I can read incredible books. I know truth and I know lies, and I can tell the difference. And I found myself in a very earthy place, and I go, what is this change? And I realized what was a chapter in my life was actually a pivotal point. And living in Japan for almost 5 years, what I discovered was that there's a presence about being Japanese and a philosophy that really resonated with me. And I thought, this is the principle of wabi-sabi, which is this very earthy look, you know, organic things around you. And when you are in an environment, and I encourage you to do this, you know, take something that's organic, earthy, and put that around you, see how it makes you feel in your environment. You know,
I was just holding this, by the way, I was just holding this in a stone. Like, stones make me feel so much better. It's so much more grounded.
Exactly. I want that when I walk in a room. When you walk in a room, see how it makes you feel.
Yeah.
See how it makes you feel. And that's what I want. So I wanted to talk about wabi-sabi, which is how things change and get older. And there's beauty in that. Older wood, everything. It's beautiful. So look at that. And then kintsugi, which is when you take, you know, they have a practice there. When a teacup breaks, you don't just throw it away. You take lacquer and you put it back together, and then you put gold over it, and it's now stronger and beautiful than, more beautiful than it was before. And that's the philosophy of how, what do we do when we shatter or break? Many times in my life, I've shattered, I've broken, I've cried, I've broken, you know, pick myself up. So what do we do in those moments? And then ikage, which is the path to happiness. How is that path? So I wanted to talk about those things in relevance to our life today and how we can apply those same principles and make our life better and richer, because we all have our cracks. And I wanted to, and, but now I'm looking for stories from people to share with me, because every book I've ever read that was powerful, life-changing, it had stories in there which really were impactful lessons underlying the message we're trying to share. So that's it.
Yes, that is perfect and beautiful. And I'm looking forward to hopefully publishing that book for you, because it's so important. You know what I was thinking the other day, because I broke something and I thought, we need a Cynthia-sponsored Wabi Sabi repair kit. Like, so we'll send the lacquer and the gold and with instructions, because
that's right
right now. So you have to tell me what to buy. So we can make that, you know, just because something is broken doesn't mean it's ruined, right?
Right. No, absolutely. Actually, sometimes it's better after it was broken.
Heartbroken, open, right? Absolutely. Well, thank you, Cynthia. We're so, so happy to see your beautiful face and to have seen
your
fantastic husband, Larry, for 2 minutes before, you know, and we wish you only health and blessings and peace. Thank you.
I'm so happy. And I love your questions, and I love what you guys are doing. I think it's so important.
Thank you. Well,
it's all of us together, right? That's the whole point behind the Empowered Together Network, that the three of us plus Eva
absolutely
have created. We're not alone.
Absolutely. We're not alone.
It's the mommy brigade, right?
That's
all
right.
Of us together. All right.
That's right.
Well, thank you so much to our listeners, viewers, and readers. We're just so honored that you join us for the questions bar, and we look forward to talking with you again next week. We're going to keep these three big questions going, and we want to hear from you. So send us an email, hopecatsgibbs@gmail.com. We'll get it right to me, and we want to bring lots and lots of amazing women on the show. So we'll talk to you all soon. Stay well, stay peaceful, stay joyful.